I gradually became aware of opera because of the Sunday night TV programs, The Voice of Firestone and The Bell Telephone Hour. And I became aware of singers like Jan Pierce, Robert Merrill, Reza Stevens. By the time I got to college, opera was a kind of part of my vocabulary, and I was at Brown University, and the closest opera company was the Opera Company of Boston, directed by the indomitable Sarah Caldwell, and she had Beverly Sills, Norman Tregel in The Tales of Hoffman, and I was blown away by that. I had gone through a period when I wanted to become an opera singer, and I could tell that it was not working and gave it up, decided I would go to business school in New York. Through a fellow singer, I heard of the position of business manager was open at the Houston Grand Opera, and it was a good entry-level situation. And so I installed myself there in September of 1970. And in 2 years, I was in the catbird seat at 27 years old to be named general director. They had no idea that I was kind of fostering ideas that would bring the company ultimately into prominence as, I think I can say, the major producer and commissioner of American opera. Susanna was the first American opera I produced in the summer of 1972 out in the Miller Outdoor Theater. Opera Under the Stars, free of charge, and Get Hooked on Opera. From the time I heard it, I said, this is the kind of opera that reminds me of the great arias of Puccini that people will click with right away. So Susanna convinced me that there was the opportunity to have an American opera repertoire. Stage director Frank Corsaro brought the idea of doing the first really professional production of Treemonisha. I realized that there had to be an orchestration for it, and the one that had been done we thought was inadequate, so we hired Gunther Schuller, the composer, and Scott Joplin, a specialist, and he created a wonderful orchestration. Piece dissolves into this amazing solo strophic aria with dancing that was so joyous that it brought people to their feet and clapping and cheering at every performance. Houston had really no tradition and no reputation, although it was a very respectable, albeit smaller, organization. So I had the opportunity to put my stamp on it, and through the Susannas, the Treemonisha productions, Treemonisha led to Porgy and Bess.
It ain't necessarily so.
It ain't necessarily so.
The things that you're liable to read in the Bible, it ain't necessarily so.
The piece was not done, and it fell to a Broadway producing collective to do the premiere, and the premiere was like 4 hours long. They did a lot of cutting, but it was largely the opera that Gershwin wanted to be. Now, during successive revivals after that, a lot of the material was cut, and the piece was refashioned into a Broadway show, a string of musical numbers.
Oh, I got plenty of nothing, and nothing's plenty for me. I got no car, got no mule, got no misery.
I remember this fabulous experience I had going to the Komische Oper in East Berlin during the most frigid part of the Cold War period, and there was Porgy and Bess. I learned later they had sneaked the score and the parts across the border somehow, and what was produced at the Komische Oper was the operatic version. And I was totally blown away, and I knew that we had to reconstitute the piece. And so we opened in June of 1976, a production that all of us felt Gershwin had conceived of at the beginning. It is the great American opera, period. Doing Porgy led us to Lenny Bernstein. I remember being backstage at the Eurus Theater, and lo and behold, there was Bernstein coming back and congratulating the cast. And I had the chance in the conversation backstage to say, would you write an opera for Houston? And I pursued this, and he said, yes. And all of a sudden, we were in business with a piece called A Quiet Place. You know, we had gone into the project looking for the next West Side Story, and I ultimately realized that while there were some really beautiful and Bernsteinian pieces in the opera that were reminiscent of his more popular work, he took this opportunity to write a very, very biting 12-tone influenced score that when we presented it in Houston, there was kind of, what is this? What are we hearing?
May 3rd, 1968. Same old house, same old walls, same old sun, same old moon, same old Sam. 25 years of him. I never asked for this.
It's a family in trouble, in, you know, they're fighting with each other, and one scene open with Merry Christmas to you, too, asshole.
Merry Christmas to you, too, asshole.
asshole. You can see the Houston doyens in the third row, you know, recoiling.
I don't have time for this.
You never did.
The critical response to it was mixed. I would say maybe 60% negative, 40% of the critical community got it. There have been two revivals of A Quiet Place in the last 2 or 3 years, the most prominent being at the New York City Opera at the New York State Theater, and there was virtually a wholesale reevaluation led by the New York Times, and of course I was thrilled with that. There was a happy ending to that piece.
News. 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 As a kind of mystery. As a kind of mystery.
When Peter Sellers, the director of Nixon in China, brought the idea to me, I thought he was a lunatic.
Just how the whole world was listening. The whole world was listening. Listening. Listening.
The idea had currency for me because we were opening a new theater center, the Wortham Center in Houston, and we wanted something to be a contrast with Aida and the abduction from the Seraglio that were part of our opening festivities. So Nixon in China would be that contrast that would be an edgy new work that would be part of a new theater. We opened the theater with it, and mostly it was criticized, but then 25 years later, it has had this series of revivals that have restored its good name. Well, I'm ready to pack it in. That's true. And a lot of good music played that reflects on what I've done, not only with new opera and American opera, but the broad repertoire, including Wagner, Berlioz, Verdi, of course, Mozart, Puccini, etc.